And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, wow. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. John from Elkmont texted in and says, is it possible that powerful people with deep pockets have enlisted Nikki Haley for one purpose, to trash Trump and help ensure he does not become a president again? Just a matter of time before he snaps back at her with something stupid that alienates half the women voters. Well, he's already pretty much called her out. I think he doesn't even really have to address her being there anymore. All he has to do is say, well, she didn't win again, and it's true. But I think, John, to answer your question, is it possible she's staying in because people with deep pockets have her there? I think that's obvious. We've seen that some of her financing has come from, you know, like longtime Democrat supporters and in places like BlackRock and other big Wall Street, you know, woke DEI corporations. This is a disturbing thing. I mean, I used to, when it all first started, I thought, oh, Nikki Haley. I mean, I don't know much about her, but she seems okay. And, you know, the more she's going on, the more I'm thinking, good gosh, no way. No way. In one of the major debates, I lost all, you know, manner of, you know, pretension that I could ever support her as a candidate. Not that I was not supporting anybody else for that matter. I really thought it's either going to be Trump or DeSantis. And Nikki Haley is hung in there for what reason? I think Nikki Haley sees herself as the person who, when the Democrats take Trump down, she'll step in and save the day. And I think at this point, she's alienated the base. I don't think they want her. Gary from Decatur says, where's John Wall and why the Alabama Republican Party leadership still hasn't addressed the issues of AEA funding of Republican candidates and Democrats being allowed to vote? He has. He's absolutely, but he doesn't have any power to disengage them. He can be on a committee to not qualify a candidate, but he can't go out there and take action against a sitting elected official who took money at some point during their campaigns. At some point the party can make a difference when they qualify a candidate. Once they're elected, that person can switch parties or do whatever they want to do. And all they can do is, you know, malign their character at that point. Wayne from Fayetteville, Phil, it wouldn't surprise me if the Democrats and their liberal judges toss out Donald Trump's Eighth Amendment rights. They've been stepping on the Constitution ever since Biden was elected. They're absolutely stepping on his rights. Tom from Auburn says, according to Google, the county Athens, Georgia is in is a sanctuary county. I wonder why Governor Kemp didn't mention that. I think he needs to clean up his own backyard. Yeah, except that he's the governor and he can't tell a local official what they can and cannot do per se. And, this, you know, the sanctuary city thing is like a wink, wink, nod, nod thing. And then lastly, Ben from Decatur says, illegal immigrant understands the immigrant worked for DoorDash. Isn't there a civil case? Yes, there is. Thank you very much. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, wow. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, y'all. I'm talking about Alabama. I mean, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in. Just for good measure. Hey, listen, I got to tell you who else covers a lot of ground. That's our friends at Southern Immediate Care. Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics that covers a huge swath of ground across our North Alabama region. And I mean like places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, six more locations in and around the Birmingham area. Y'all, Southern Immediate Care, all their locations open 7 days a week. They will see all ages. I like to say pediatric up to geriatric. They'll see them all. And this is who I use personally. It is. And I don't use them because they advertise. They are advertising because I had been using them and was so pleased that I knew I could brag on them. And I asked them, would you? And they said, you know what? Yeah. Southern Immediate Care. Listen, you need assistance. You need medical attention. If you get sick on a Saturday, do you wait till a Monday? No. Southern Immediate Care. You head on down to the location nearest to you. And while you're filling out your forms, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I would appreciate that. All right, I am in this final dipper, and we're headed into the final. And I'm curious what your thoughts are. I've got a story here that I mentioned briefly to John Wall, who, by the way, I would be all for the idea of John Wall becoming the National Party Chairman. And I'll tell you what, I've gotten to know Chairman Wall, you know, personally. I've had a chance to spend time with him. What he says is who he is. I mean, I have no inhibition about saying that we right now have a solid conservative and just plain right chairman of the Alabama Republican Party. I'm comfortable with that. I believe that if he were the national party chairman, he would have the ability to take exactly who we talk about being on this radio show to the national level. I like the way he was very careful about speaking on the ability of the guy from North Carolina, Whiteley, to be the same. But, you know, hey, he's a team player, and he said that, and he's going to be a team player, and I know that. In the meantime, speaking of team player, interesting story. Daily Wire runs a piece. Now, granted, I don't know yet whether or not Nikki Haley has come out and disavowed the story in its entirety, but Daily Wire has a piece headlined, No Labels Chief Expresses Interest in Haley Joining the Ticket. So No Labels is the non-Republican, non-Democrat, third-party sort of never-Trumper kind of group. Joe Cunningham, the national director of No Labels and a former Democrat congressman from South Carolina, entertained the idea during an interview on Fox and Friends after Haley faced another primary defeat about having Nikki Haley run as the third-party president under the No Labels banner. He said, this has been a project to essentially give Americans another choice if they're unhappy with the presumptive nominees, which, you know, it appears it's going to be Trump versus Biden right now, but we don't know. He said, Nikki Haley, she's going to remain in the race. You can't count her out completely. Hats off to her for staying in, he says, and for sticking with it. But we're looking for great quality people, folks that have broad appeal to independents, Democrats, Republicans, and yes, he says, I mean, Nikki Haley is somebody we'd definitely be interested in. Now, all that is somebody saying we'd take her. That doesn't mean any discussion's been had. I would be surprised if she did that. Like John Wall said, she would be disqualified from ever coming back and running again. And if she thinks she's going to bide her time to 2028, then jumping party is not going to be it. But it's not like that's not happened before. Teddy Roosevelt, you remember me talking a few weeks ago, Teddy Roosevelt jumped out. When he did not make the party nomination, he went out and ran a third-party run for president, and it was called the Bull Moose Party. And Teddy Roosevelt wound up being a spoiler. He wound up coming in and basically taking enough votes away from President Taft, who was a Republican, that it gave the ability then for Woodrow Wilson, a Democrat, to be elected. Wow. It's happened. It's happened. It was a one-time blast. Bull Moose Party, where are they now? They're gone. Bull Moose Party basically was Teddy Roosevelt. But it had a lot of popular base support. Teddy Roosevelt was extremely popular as a person, just not with the establishment. So in that case, Taft was the establishment. Bull Moose Party with Teddy Roosevelt was the populist base. The populist base wound up beating the establishment at the polls. In other words, the Bull Moose Party came in second overall. This just totally embarrassed Taft and the Republican Party. However, with the lowest margin ever by an elected president, it gave Woodrow Wilson the win. So, we got a Democrat who took us into, you know, the era of the New Deal and all that. So there's that. Then there's also Ross Perot. I'm a huge Ross Perot fan, by the way. I love Ross Perot as a person. I love what he stood for veterans. I love the fact that he went and actually rescued his own people who were stuck behind enemy lines in Iran when the Shah was deposed. I think the world of Ross Perot. The interesting dynamic here, if you remember, is Ross Perot ran for president as a third party. He funded his own. He was a billionaire. Pretty much funded his own race. I still remember Ross Perot buying an hour of network TV time. An hour to talk about voodoo economics. He kept he had that feathered stick, and he had a chart, and he was actually sitting there slapping the chart with his stick going, talking about voodoo economics. And he was a fiscal conservative. He was more of a libertarian. He was also not on board with, you know, the establishment. And he believed in bucking the trends. And he came in there sort of like Teddy Roosevelt. And he went in as a third-party candidate. And he was enough of a spoiler that George H.W. Bush, the first Bush, did not get reelected, and we wound up with Bill Clinton. So what I do not want to see happen is the idea of Nikki Haley stepping out and forming a third-party run that draws away the never-Trumper Republicans. And by the way, never-Trumper Republicans are going to have to get over it. At some point, they're going to have to get over it, because if he's the nominee, the last thing they need to do is go, well, I'm just not going to vote. You might as well just say, well, then I'm just for Joe Biden. And we cannot afford another 4 years of this. We cannot. I still question whether Biden's going to make it to the nomination. Is he going to make it all the way to the election? If he gains the nomination, what do they do? I mean, I think the Democrat Party's got a conundrum right now. They do not know what to do. How in the world do they handle it if they go through the nomination process at the conference and they nominate Biden and then he can't make it all the way to the election? They may even wind up having a contested conference. Who knows? A convention, I mean. So there's that. In the meantime, you've got other things. Like I said, Senator John Thune, Daily Wire reports as of yesterday, second-ranking Republican endorsed former President Donald Trump on Sunday. A little late to the game. Senator John Thune, who is the minority whip, who, by the way, is, you know, seen not only as a member of leadership, but he's seen as a member of establishment. Haley does have some endorsements from Representative Ralph Norman, Governor Phil Scott, Chris Sununu. But right now, Donald Trump has gained a slew of endorsements from sitting members of the legislative process. And then I got this story that I still got to try to figure out how they think they can get away with this. Remember January 6th? The insurrection! Remember January 6th? Remember how dare they talk about not upholding the law and government? How dare they not certify the election? How dare they speak out? Election deniers! Daily Wire has another story that broke yesterday. Democrats signal they might not certify a Trump win in 2024. What? Numerous House Democrats have signaled they would not certify a 2024 presidential election win from Donald Trump, relying on the 14th Amendment to claim that Trump is an insurrectionist and thus ineligible from holding office. So let me get this straight. Well, first of all, by the way, I believe the Supreme Court's going to intervene before then. Before they ever have a chance to use that, I believe the Supreme Court will step in. Supreme Court's already going to have to make some type of a ruling on the Colorado case where a Secretary of State, not a sitting judge, not a trial by jury, no due process, never been an indictment. Oh, by the way, certainly not a criminal conviction. But yet, the Secretary of State and then the Supreme Court of the state of Colorado said, well, it appears that Trump is disqualified from being on our ballot on the basis that he was, you know, taking part in an insurrection. The Supreme Court of the United States has that case right now. I believe they will rule very quickly. I believe they have to. We could wind up hearing that ruling any day. But in the meantime, Democrats, including Representative James Clyburn of South Carolina, Jamie Raskin of Maryland, Adam Schiff of, man, Eric Swalwell, golly, bum, Hakeem Jeffries, Lord, they got the whole band back together. They got all of them. They got all of them, I'm telling you, have signaled they might not confirm Trump if he won the 24 election. Democrats could have the votes to sustain an objection to a Trump win if they take control of the House. Only a simple majority is required. And unlike when the House chooses a president under the 12th Amendment, they don't vote by states. Unlike in 2016 or 2004 when they were in the minority, House Democrats could be playing with live ammunition. Still, a majority of senators would have to object to a Trump win, too, and this would likely take 51 senators. And as McLaughlin pointed out, that's going to be a tough task for Democrats. So the question is going to be, what are they going to do? Are you really going to put the nation through all of the mess that you did about January 6th being the end of civilization as we know it? Are you really going to go down that road of saying, oh, no, it was just an insurrection? It was a violation of the law. And there's people, by the way, in jail. There are still people whose due process rights have been absolutely curtailed, who still have not had their trial in front of a jury of their peers, who have been held just for the last several years, hundreds of them. There are still people who have the FBI knocking on their door because they tracked down their cell phone usage and discovered that they were somewhere in the vicinity of the Capitol on January 6th.
No.
And yet, after all of this, you got key members of Democrat leadership considering whether it'll be okay for them to choose to be election deniers. I thought that was the crime of the century, y'all. And there's going to be statues built in honor of the people who stood against the insurrection. I feel certain at some point, artificial intelligence is going to have a new version of history that will talk about Nancy Pelosi with a sword in her hand, you know, swiping away at insurrectionists as they rushed at her. It's just, it's unreal. Unreal. All right, listen, we're going to take the last break of the day. I'll come right back and I'll tell you what is also deemed to be perhaps the biggest issue on the ballot. And it relates to something else we've talked about on the show today. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making common sense like a superpower. All right, we are back. And I got a call on the line. Is that Jeff Rowe from Indiana? Jeff, how are you doing?
I just got through fueling up at the Cornersville truck stop here. So I'm heading north, man.
Did you get you some fried catfish?
No, that's down in Alabama. I'm in Tennessee. I'm next to the Tennessean truck stop.
Well, all right. Well, at least you're making progress. That means you're further north than usual right about now, it feels like.
Oh yeah. Hopefully I get to all the way north, maybe. Who knows?
Well, what you thinking about, man? What's on your mind today?
Hey, how come the FBI isn't investigating these Democratic congressmen for conspiracy for an insurrection?
I don't know. It just feels like something's afoot right now.
Yeah, if I said that, or if a Republican said that, you know, they'd be all over them. I mean, that's truly a conspiracy if they're sitting there conspiring now to overturn the 2024 election.
Yeah, I wonder if they're going to have their social media shut down, and you know, and then are they going to be censored at all by their fellow members of the House? I just wonder.
Well, I would think so. I mean, you know, like I say, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. I mean, after the election, maybe they should. The Trump DOJ should have them arrested for conspiring against him.
Yeah, the problem is they're not geese; they're a bunch of chickens. So it's just, you know, they're just gonna talk big, and in the end, they know what they're gonna have to do, and they're gonna have to do exactly what they know they're supposed to do, which is certify a win. And I hope that's what they got in their hands is a win from the Republican side.
Well, do they actually have to do that? I mean, is it the you know, this last time around, I think, you know, with all the mess, things were messed up, Pence should have said that, you know, sent some of these delegates back to the states and said, get it right, because the election wasn't done right. I mean, it was an unconstitutional election, so we have an unconstitutionally elected president right now.
Well, if we have one of those now, okay, you're talking about something different. If you're talking about all the electioneering and the things that went on that were hokey, and we see major repeats of that again, then I think but God almighty, I mean, Jeff, if we go back into an election night like that again, I'm not so sure that we're not going to have that revolt you've been talking about.
Well, if Republicans wasn't so mealy-mouthed, we'd already had it, I'm thinking. Look at what's going on with Trump right now and everything. I mean,
how about
really,
Republicans believe in the rule of law? There's that.
Well, I'm sure that the people in 1776 and 1861, you know, believed in the rule of law too. But we had a revolution basically and a civil war because of what was going on. So,
I don't think we're there, but I wish they'd quit pressing the point. I don't think we're there, but I wish they'd quit pressing the point as if they want us to get there. Hey, brother, I got one more thing got to cover before I leave for the afternoon, man. So be safe on the road, all right?
Have a good one, Phil. Thank you.
We'll see, man. The last piece I've got here, as we talk about the state of the GOP, as we talk about the campaigns, as we talk about the race, as we talk about the first dipper I had, which was blood on their hands, as we talk about The second, I mean, the first dipper I had was a snowflake baby. Second dipper was blood on their hands. That first one about snowflake babies is about abortion. So let me just say, right now, Democrats believe that abortion is their number one issue still. They see it as being the way to go. Crush Trump and amplify abortion. At the same time, blood on their hands is on everybody's mind. And the state of the GOP right now is to do something about it. Story here on townhall.com broke this morning. America reaching an open border boiling point. Says a survey of South Carolina Republican voters conducted by Edison Research shows that 37% of voters claimed that immigration was the most important issue, followed by 33% who list the economy. Listen, the economy is almost always number one. This is why it's got people really paying attention. Like in 1980, pretty much on the economy, Jimmy Carter lost to Ronald Reagan. In 92, Bill Clinton. It's the economy, stupid. And he winds up beating George H.W. Bush. And there were other reasons, too, but that was the big issue. In 2008, John McCain lost to Barack Obama. And it was largely seen as economic baggage left over from the previous Bush administration. And then right now, the economy is extremely poor. Still got high interest rates, persistent inflation, falling wages, skyrocketing national debt. All that's real. And yet, the bulk of the people surveyed are saying their number one issue is the southern border. Bad economy, big deal. Number two, but an open southern border and a massive influx of undocumented immigrants has literally become the number one issue in that poll. That, my friends, is a clear indication that the Biden administration is in trouble, and they know it. All right, you guys have an amazing day. We'll see you tomorrow. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be back.